Okay. Before we go back to this, well, last week we had said that, Tom, you were going to explain this whole issue about the dating of the Anno Mundi, which is the Shanim Lebriata Olam. But, Tom, you're not here, I assume because of Election Day. So we'll do that next week. But regarding this issue of the king, about the appointment, so how is a king, how do you become a king?
Well, either you inherited your father.
But somebody had to still give the
Or somebody overthrew you. The previous king.
Right. So in other words, there's two. One is you can look in Sefer Malachim, Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Malachim, and see the things didn't always, Sefer Yeshayahu, right. Things didn't always actually work, you know, the way that they may have been meant to in the abstract, pure realm of halacha. But when the Torah says in Parshat Shoftim, "Som tasim alecha melech asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo," so you're aware that there's great, there's a lack of clarity and there's a great ambivalence towards the role of Malchut in Israel. This was most famously expressed by the Abarbanel, who knew a thing or two about kings, having been close to a few, and having been. Having seen the uglier underside of the world of politics, he expresses the most extreme ambivalence to the role of Malchus. At Kedei Kach, that he really expresses the idea that it's at most a concession, you know, akin to the Eshtifat Toar. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Eshtifat Toar. That doesn't mean you should run out to find one.
Isn't that somewhere in the Torah? It says something like, if you want to put a king,
right,
it should only be me.
Right. So, all in Parshat Shoftim. So, others have different views, but there's no doubt that the history of kingship was not always stellar, was not always rosy. So when it says, Asher Yifchar Hashem Elokecha Bo, so what does that mean?
Some divine intervention here.
Yeah. You know, like they say about Elizabeth, that she feels that she's really, that the hand of Hashkocha is on her. That's how she was raised.
Thereby divine.
Because, you know, she wasn't supposed to be queen. And it's her uncle was supposed king. Her uncle was king, but he gave up his throne for the woman he loved, making her father the king. Mm-hmm. And the pressures of being king killed him. So she became queen very young. And her mother, who had Arichos Yomim, impressed upon her this idea that, like, that's Hashkocha, right? That's the way it works, right? In other words, you know, it's destiny that you became queen, and you're selected by God. That's why she'll never quit. Right? That's, you know, the idea that it's really like, it's for life, that you can't...
Charles has a hard time with that.
Well, you know, his will be a short reign, presumably, if he outlasts her. So, אתם מנקים פה עכשיו?
כן.
מפריע לך שאנחנו כאן, או?
כן.
אה. כאילו, אנחנו עד הערבית, אבל...
כן.
טוב, אז נצא.
לא,
טוב, נצא, כן. So the Sifrei says that Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo means that the king has to be selected al pi navi or al pi urim v'tumim. There has to be some kind of divine stempel, the seal of approval that this fellow is the king. So they would ask the Navi, or they would ask the Urim V'Tumim to ratify this, even when the king is formally the son of the king. In other words, in principle, Malchus is hereditary. But without some kind of divine shtempel, he hasn't fulfilled the Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Bo. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Melochim, says Ein limnot melech el al pi navi. Right? You can't appoint a king. In other words, it's like we said, we were making an analogy last week to the whole idea of the inauguration. Right? In other words, how do you become president? The Electoral College elects you. And on January 20th at noon, you become president. Right? But still you need this tekes of the inauguration. I mean, it's not just symbolic. Right? It certainly is symbolic, but it's not just symbolic. It's a constitution. It's mandated by the constitution. So without the inauguration, they time the inauguration. In other words, he's supposed to be standing there with his hand on the Bible at the strike of noon, right? Because at noon, the old president loses his authority, and the new president becomes president. Like kol nafkaminot of whatever. So the inaugural ceremony doesn't always run like clockwork, because if the guy before you, you know, first they sing the Star Spangled Banner and then they have a poetry reading and whoever's the chairman welcomes everyone. And so I think this last time when Trump, so it was a few minutes delayed. It was like 12:07 before he took the oath. It's like what's the status during those 7 minutes of whatever. So like the what they call the football, you know, which is the case that carries the nuclear codes, only gets passed from Obama's, whatever he's called, the head of that security detail, to Trump's as the hand is on the Bible, right? And I saw like a picture of this handoff of the so-called football. That's the nickname for it. So here also, the old king dies, right?
12:00. If Obama is finished, theoretically, he can't say to drop the nuclear weapons anytime after 12:00.
Right.
You have those 7 minutes.
It's a brief interruption.
There was, in the 19th century, there was a case that, not January 20th, January 20th is only from, it used to be in March, but whatever the date was, that date fell on a Sunday. I'm forgetting who it was. And whoever the president, the incoming president was, did not want to be inaugurated on Sunday, so it shouldn't desecrate the Holy Sabbath day. So he only took the oath, he and his vice president only took the oath on Monday. So the former president, you know, this is like the William Henry Harrison or the Millard Fillmore era, something like that. So the old president, he said, "I'm, you know, at noon on Saturday, I'm out of here." So this whoever was Speaker of the House was the acting president during that one day when there was no president. So the Rambam says that you can only appoint the king through the Navi. So even though the old king dies, the king is dead, long live the king, the son becomes king, but until the Navi ratifies it, he's not technically the king. He says, and if there's no Navi, because at a certain point Nevuah ends before the Malchus ends. So he says, in the absence of Nevuah, and even when there was a Navi, like a Navi doesn't, he can't just turn it on, right? He has to wait for the Nevuah. So what if, you go to Yeshaya HaNavi, when Yeshaya HaNavi was the Navi, and there were other Nevi'im, of course, but when Yeshaya HaNavi is the Navi, he's like the Chief Justice, right? And the Chief Justice always swears in the President, even though he doesn't have, that's a minag, that's not a law. So, but you go to Yeshaya HaNavi and say, you know, does Hashem ratify this king? So Yeshaya has to, like, turn to heaven. And either he gets the message or he doesn't get the message. Right? So in the absence of Nevuah, either in the absence of Nevi'im or the absence of a Nevuah, so the Sanhedrin, the Rambam says the Sanhedrin, as a kind of constituted body, can give the green light. The Ramban, however, says that the obligation to have a ratification by a Navi or by the Urim V'Tumim. So the Ramban asks, Im kein, ma tam lahazhir lo tuchal letet alecha ish nochri. The Pasuk says you can't, you could give a king, but you can't have a king who's a goy. So why would the Torah need to give such a warning? If the king can only become a king if Hashem picks him, so then what do you have to say? You can't have a goy. Hashem wouldn't pick such a person. Right? So the Ramban says, Enachinami. The requirement of having the ratification of a Navi is only when there's Nivuah. That's the Rambam. The Ramban does not address that, right? So in the absence of a Navi, so you can appoint even without the ratification of the Navi. No, so in other words, that's it. So the Ramban says that the guy is king. You appoint and Enochinami. If they were to appoint a goy, it would be an Isser.
So now it's the king, whoever has the hereditary status to become the king, comes the king and is
in the throne. Right. So the Ramban says, so then in the absence of a Navi, it's unnecessary. If you say the king has to be selected by Hashem, right?
Yeah.
By Alpi Nevuah, or Alpi Urim V'Tumim is also a type of Nevuah. So then it's tautological to say don't appoint a Nochri, because Hashem wouldn't get such a Nevuah. So the Ramban says that's only when there is Nevuah. And in the absence of Nevuah, so what can we do? You still have to appoint a king. So then the Isser in the Torah about not appointing a Nochri, that's just to tell you, once you're on your own, in the absence of the safety net of Nevuah, here are the Tnai Saf, here are the minimum requirements. One is he's got to be a Jew. And then the Ramban says another thing, right? He gives another interpretation. What does it mean? Asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo? So he says, no, maybe it means something else altogether. In other words, maybe it's a sign that whoever the Jewish people appoint, that ipso facto reveals what God's will was. It's a kind of like hashkacha at work, right? That sense of like that idea that we have of not an exact parallel, but the Gemara, well, actually we'll have it later in Rosh Hashanah, but it's also in Brachot, that idea of like, what happens if during the times of Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah they mess up, right? You know the Gemara about Rabbi Eliezer and in other words, he says it's Rosh Chodesh, right? In other words, they want to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. And he knows that it can't be. Right. So there's this great conflict. Right. So Rabbi Akiva consoles him. It doesn't matter. Right. In other words, if you want to start checking under the hood of every Kiddush HaChodesh, so you'd have to go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if one day is off 1,000 years ago, then everything would be messed up. So in other words, that the Kiddush HaChodesh, even if they make a mistake, the Kiddush HaChodesh is the Kiddush HaChodesh.
No,
so
the
right? Right. Or the idea of Yiftach Bedaro Kishmuel Bedaro. Right? The status of a Navi, the status of a Shofet, the status of any Manig, right? So he's like, you can say whatever you want to say about say whatever you want to say about the current occupant of the White House, but L'chol HaDeot, he has the authority of the president vested in him, right? And so Lahavdil, a similar thing here. The person who the people choose, that reveals what God's will was. Generally speaking, in other words, The pasuk says, "Leman yarich yamim al mamlachto hu uvanav bekerav Yisrael." So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Krisis says, and actually our Rashi quotes it here, that that's the source that in principle the Malchus is hereditary. That the father bequeaths the throne to his son. But the Rambam makes a point of saying, that same Rambam at the beginning of Malachim makes a point of saying that the Yerusha is, the Malchus goes by Yerusha, but it is dependent on the qualities of the Yorish. That the son has to at least bear some kind of what he calls chokhma v'yira. He has to be in the ballpark to be the king, otherwise he doesn't inherit it automatically. And that might be the purpose of the check and balance of the Navi or the Sanhedrin against someone who has no business. Yeah, so I think Rashi here points out that this in theory also applies to Malchut Beit Yisrael as well.
Where is there some place in Shoftim where the kingship is hereditary?
That?
The idea that kingship is hereditary.
Yeah, so that's that pasuk.
How does the pasuk say if in Shoftim that the king is hereditary?
The pasuk is Laman Yarich Yamim Amamachto Hu Uvanav. Him and his sons, right? Bekerav of Israel. So the Gemara in Krisus says that's the source of the idea that in principle Malchus is hereditary. And if a king doesn't have sons, so then it goes like the same way that Yerusha goes to brothers or the children of brothers, you know, with this kind of Seder Kadimut, you know, which in the history of the British monarchy has happened on occasion. That's where they get a new house. Right, the House of Hanover becomes the House of right. The Tudors become the Hanovers. The Hanovers become the Windsors or whatever it is.
Between that and
their females can become right, and now even female they just changed their their own constitution, but they just changed the. As it used to be a queen can become a girl can become queen only if she has no brothers, right? So you could have 12 daughters in a row and then one son at the end. The king dies, that son becomes king. Now it's kol hakodem zocheh. It's in the meantime it's irrelevant because Elizabeth has a bechor, he has a bechor, and he has a bechor, right? So it's irrelevant. It's not yet in the foreseeable future going to come to pass that a girl is going to leapfrog. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. We're on Beis Amud Beis, about 10 lines down or so. First one on the line is Minyanan Kamash Malon. So Meit Benizneb, we were talking about this whole idea of the king becomes the Rosh Chodesh Lemelachim is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We just celebrated Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Meit Benisan va'amad achar tachtav Benisan monin shana lezeh v'shana lezeh. So if today is Dalet Nisan, if the king 4 days into this year drops dead today, in an hour we'll know what the results are. So it could be they'll say the king is dead. Bibi Melech Yisrael. We won't know. But I just point out the Inyan Ediyoma. Today, Dalet Nisan, the king drops dead. So this year counts as the year of the old king and the year of the new king. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Mahu Detema. Okay, we already know this. You see, like if you recall what we've done, you have all this string of these Pshita Mahu Detema. Pshita Mahu Detema.
ki amrinan yom echad b'shana chashuv shana b'sof shana aval b'tchilat shana lo amrinan kamashmalon. I thought when we said that a year can count for two, maybe that's if the old king dies in Adar at the very end of the year and the new king becomes king for a day in the last year before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so then we say it counts for both. It counts for the old king because after all he was king for almost the whole year, and it counts for the new king because you always want to give a little extra cover to a new king. But what do we learn? We learn that it works in the opposite direction, the other way, right? If it's 99% old and 1% new, so obviously you count for two. But Kamash Malon, it's also if it's 1% old and 99% new, it counts for both as well.
The mashmut of it being a year for this one and a year of that one, and the shtar.
If the shtar, how you date the shtar?
So you can, in other words, you're dating the shtar in the year, in the fourth year of so and so.
Right.
Or you can date it in
the first year of the next one. Yeah.
It's the same year.
It's the same year. Right.
Same year. So, what is the requirement? Let's say if I'm writing the shtar after the old king is already dead,
you can still count it. Yeah. No, if it's before he's dead, so you don't know that it's you don't know that somebody else might grab it. Yeah, no, but that's the point. That even 350 days after he's dead, you can still count it on his. Right? And that was the example I gave last week of 1978, the year of three popes. Right? In one year, there were three different popes, and that's what they call it. It's the year of this one and that one and the other one. Met ba'adar v'amad achar tachtav b'nisan.
Oh, an American calendar year that once, at least once, where a president died a month after he was inaugurated.
William Henry Harrison. We were just speaking of him. How often does William Henry Harrison come up in his year? Now twice. He died 30 days into his office. What? Yeah, except in America they don't. In other words, in America, you never do that. It's not
historically
right. Apparently, it's not. You know, it was always rumored he gave a very long inaugural address in March in Washington without an overcoat. He didn't want to wear an overcoat for some reason, and he caught cold and died. But apparently, it's not true. Apparently, it was, you know, the bad water in Washington. Washington is built on a swamp. And apparently they discovered, I don't know how, I don't know if they exhumed his body or something, but if you Google it, William Henry Harrison, cause of death, you'll find it. And last year I saw a story, I think it was cholera that got him, not this cold. So, met ba'adar v'amad achar tachtav b'nisan. So in other words, he dies on the Tefer, right? Now, the old king dies the last day of Adar. And the next guy becomes king the next day on the first day of Nisan. So that's like as neat as can be, because you don't need to have, right? Rishon al Rishonah, Vishniya al Shniya. Pshita, right? So obviously, why do you need to tell me the obvious? Lo, Tzricha, De'imnu aleha me'adar, Umelech ben Melechu. Right? So no, maybe the case was the old king died on the last day of Adar. And the new king anyway is the heir apparent. He's the Melech ben Melech. Right? And they pointed to him. They didn't inaugurate him, right? But they knew he was going to be king. So then we could say, maybe there we could say, really, Taka, he really is the king, right? Since it's kind of automatic. So Mahu Detema, Nimnu Lay Tartin Shnin. So we should say he gets to get counted for 2 years. Right? Kamash Malon, no, it's not true. Until it's official Alpi Navi, so then it doesn't count. Even when we know that he's president. That he's king. Right? It's always confused. Like in America, it's a good example. When was Trump, what year was Trump elected? 2016, right? But he doesn't become president until 2017. As you think, we think of the presidency, the term will go from 2016 to 2020. but it's not really true. It's from 2000 because the elections are on those round years, but the term actually is from 2017 to 2021, right? So when does it? So you think he's already president once he's elected, right? But it's not true. I mean, like we'll have here. I mean, it's not so this year. It's not so clear, right? But let's say by the morning, there should be a good idea who's going to get invited to form a coalition. So it could be this is not a good case because maybe Gantz will get invited to form the coalition because maybe, according to the polling, he'll have the most seats. So the Nasi is going to have to ask him first. But if he can't do it, and this happened once before. This happened with Tzipi Livni, right? So, but in a normal case, the guy that gets the most seats is the one that forms the coalition. But it takes weeks, right? Until they're that day when they're sitting in the Knesset and they take that photograph and they're all happy and they all look so friendly and you think, oh, they're going to work so nicely together.
Right, sometimes almost reaches a limit.
What?
There's a period limit.
There's a limit, but it's certainly weeks.
It's weeks, but we've come close to that limit.
What?
I think we have come close to that limit.
No, there have been times...
The older government continues to function.
The older government continues to function, but in other words, let's say again, this year it's so messy, but like normally, like if somebody wins a big mandate and it's clear, like you know he's going to be able to form a government, it's just a question of the haggling over who's going to get this tick and who's going to get that tick and what the coalition agreement is going to be. So for all intents and purposes, that person is like, we already start thinking of them as the Rosh Memshala,
right?
But he's not Rosh Memshala until the government is formed. Right, so here, he's not king until it's official. And even though he was king for a few minutes in the previous year, that year doesn't count. Even though the father died in the previous year, it doesn't count. So Amar b'Yochanan, minayin lemalachim she'ein monin lahem ela minisan. So how do we know this din in the Mishnah? The din in the Mishnah that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah lemalachim. What's its source? Shneimar vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arbash meot shana letzeit b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's the pasuk in Melachim Aleph. In the 480th year after Yitziat Mitzrayim, b'shana harivit b'chodesh ziv, hu hachodesh asher lamelech Shlomo al Yisrael. So, what's chodesh ziv? Is Iyar. So the Gemara says Makish Malchut Shlomo liyitziat Mitzrayim. So the Gemara is making a hekesh between the reign of the king, in this case Shlomo, and Yitziat Mitzrayim. So Ma Yitziat Mitzrayim minisan af Malchut Shlomo minisan. In other words, it's like the same way that they do. Like on wedding invitations, like it's popular in our Zionist set. Like you put the Goyish date. If you're frum, you don't use 2019. You'll just write on Chi'il April Leminyanam or Alpayim Chasre Leminyanam. Or you'll just skip it and you'll assume that if you got an invitation now, we know it's this year. Right? So you say, get Sioni, so you say, Shtat Labriat Olam, it's 5779, Shivim ve Echad Shanim, La Tiferet Medinat Yisrael.
Sometimes
Yichud Yerushalayim. Oh, Gam Yichud Yerushalayim. We got married in 1996, which was the year that they were celebrating Yerushalayim 3000. Right? Which is something of a, it was like something of like a fictia for a tourist occasion, right? Jerusalem 3000. So on our wedding invitation, because we also got married in the old city, so we said, however many years, 39th year of Yichud Yerushalayim, the 3000th year of Jerusalem, right? On our wedding invitation. So here they have two dating systems: the year after Yitziat Mitzrayim and the year of his reign. Right, so the Gemara says, just like the year of Yitziat Mitzrayim, obviously you count Yitziat Mitzrayim from when?
Yitziat Mitzrayim.
Yitziat Mitzrayim? From which month would you count? Obviously from Nisan, right? So too, you count the king from Nisan. So then the Gemara says, Yitziat Mitzrayim gufa min alan demin Nisan maninan. Who's to say that we kept this count, that apparently they kept a count of how many years it was? It's interesting. They didn't use a count, right? In all of Tanakh, you never have a count of what year it is, Lebriat Olam. Right? Apparently they were not using that. This is this question to Tom. But they were using a count. They did have a kind of sense of dating. Obviously, the calendar for the purposes of days of the week that's set according to Shabbat. The calendar according to the days of the week is obviously Shabbos. And the months, including adding in months, is according to Kiddush HaChodesh. Cycles of years for other purposes, like Shemitah, was kept because people kept a memory of it, even though historically there was machlokas about what year we may have been in for the purposes of Shemitah. For the purposes of the 19-year cycle for Birkat HaChama. We're coming up on... What?
It's more than 19, I think. 20-something?
Oh, 26. Yeah. No, it was 19 for the cycle of the other things. By the way, if you're interested, on Thursday night, Rabbi Bravender is coming to give a Pesach shiur. It's my father-in-law's 10th Yoret site. So Rabbi Bravender is coming to give a shiur on Thursday night at 8. My father-in-law is Rabbi Bravender's bar mitzvah teacher. So there's a connection. But I think that because it's his 10th Yoret site. We were sitting Shiva on Erev Pesach that year, 10 years ago, was Birkat HaChama on Erev Pesach. So, people went up to Etam. Yeah. So we got up from Shiva that day, from my father.
8 o'clock,
says. 8 p.m. And on Shabbos, I'm giving a shiur for Shabbos Gadol. So the Gemara makes a hekesh from Yitziat Mitzrayim to Malchut Tzitzinisa. The Gemara says, how do you know that dating system of how many years since Yitziat Mitzrayim, how do you know it's from Nisan? So how do you know it's from Nisan? Isn't it Pshita that should be from Nisan? Not necessarily. Who's to say? I mean, we've now introduced all these examples of things where you start a new date, you choose some arbitrary date, and that's when the new dating system starts. Yeah, so, but the Gemara doesn't take it for granted. The Gemara says, "Minisan v'yitziat Mitzrayim gufa minalanda minisan meninan." How do we know that even Yitziat Mitzrayim is not counting from Nisan? Also, by the way, what's the obvious kasha on from Nisan? That you wouldn't count it from Nisan. What? No. But what would be your havamina to say that it doesn't have to be from Nisan? You could count from Matan Torah, you could count from, well, we'll see, from the Kamata Mishkan. But no, because Nisan itself is not... If Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, if we start the new count, right? It doesn't work out properly. What day of the month is your birthday? What's your birthday?
15th of November, whatever.
November 15th, right? So when do you become... the next year old? The next November 15th? The 14th or 15th?
The 15th. The
14th is the last day of you being... Let's say right now you're 37. Sake of argument. So on November 14th is the last day of you being 37. And on November 15th you turn 38. So we don't say that we start the new count from... Tetvav Nisan. We started from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It would be the same as saying you were born on November 15th, but we're going to change your date, we're going to change your age on November 1st. What do you do? What do you do with the dates from Aleph Nisan till Yud Dalet Nisan?
But it's still Nisan, so I don't understand how that's.
No, so in other words, they leave Mitzrayim on Tetvav, right? Mm-hmm. All of that year is the first year of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. Comes the next Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is 11 and a half months later, and now you're in the second year. It's not Miduyak. Right? So right away you see that it's not exact. It's not like we say that it's the X years to the Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's not. It's rounded off. So if you can round off to the beginning of the month, so maybe you can round off to a different month. So what month would you round off to? Dilma Mitishrei Menina. Right? Mm-hmm. Lo Salka Dat Chadichtiv V'yal Aharon HaKohen El Hor HaHar Al Pi Hashem V'yamat Sham B'Shnat HaArba'im Letzeit B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim B'Chodesh HaChamishi B'Echad L'Chodesh. When, what's Aaron's yard site? No? What's Chodesh HaChamishi? Av. Aaron HaKohen's yard site is Rosh Chodesh Av, right? So in the 40th year on Rosh Chodesh Av, v'chtiv v'yihi ba'arba'im shana ba'ashtei asar l'chodesh be'echad l'chodesh. What month is that? Ba'ashtei asar l'chodesh. The 11th month is Shvat. By Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Diber Moshe v'Gomer. Moshe begins his first ne'um, his first long speech in Sefer Dvarim, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, in the 40th year. Midekai ba'av v'korei le'shnat arba'im, v'kai b'shvat v'korei le'shnat arba'im, michlal de Rosh Hashanah lav tishrehu. In other words, you have something that happens in Av, and then you have something that happens in Shvat. They're both within the same calendar year for counting Yitziat Mitzrayim. What do you have between Shvat and Av? Oh no, I'm sorry. What do you have between Av and Shvat? Aaron dies in Av. And then later, the other side of the year, you have Shvat. They're both in the same calendar year for the purposes of counting years since you meet Tishrei. In the middle, you have Tishrei. So if Tishrei came in the middle, these two things wouldn't be in the same year. Right?
Right?
And as if I tell you, here's the Seder, here's the order of events. On November 1st, 2018, Reuven was born. And on November 1st, 2018, Reuven was born. And on February 1st, 100%. Something else happened, right? So, what year was Shimon born in February 1st? 2019, right?
But it's not a whole year from when Reuven was born.
Right, and it's because why? Because we have this artificial marker on January 1st that we changed the number of the year. Right?
The arbitrary Jake, kids go to school, it's a cutoff date.
Right. So here you have this arbitrary. How do you know that it couldn't have been from Tishrei? Right? Because you see that for the purposes of counting the years since it's Yom Tzrayim, from Shvat, from Av to the next Shvat with a Tishrei in the middle, it's all the same year, so Tishrei can't be the marker. It had to have been the preceding
Nisan.
Uh,
That's because for some reason they decided that Nisan was the counting of the kings.
No. This is something else. This is for the counting of the years of Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Right? It happens to be the same month. Okay, fine.
Right.
Nisan.
Right.
But you know, if you go to the wedding, they read Shtuva, they say,
Say it, but that's a different count. You're using a different system. But for the system of count, so the Gemara says, what's the source? There's the Mishnah says that Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim is Nisan. So unlike Rosh Hashanah l'Ilanot, so there's like a svara for why Rosh Hashanah l'Ilanot is Tu B'Shvat, right? Because it aligns with something in botany, right? It might have been, maybe it was Rosh Chodesh, that's the machlokes. Maybe it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat Beseder. But for sure, it's not going to be in Tammuz, right? That wouldn't make any sense agriculturally, right? But Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim, and Rosh Hashanah l'Shanim, what we call Rosh Hashanah with a capital R, right? So it's Rishon L'Tishrei. Why? Because of Briat Olam. Okay, so Elijah, but Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim, so you say, the point of Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim is that it's an arbitrary date. Right? We say this is an arbitrary date and we need it for the purposes of dating Shtarot. It could have just as easy. Rosh Hashanah l'Ilanot could not have been the middle of Sivan. It would make no sense. It would cause havoc in terms of Trumot Masrot. But Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim is an arbitrary date. You could have chosen any date on the calendar. Right? Why Nisan? Gemara says Nisan is chosen because there's a Hekesh. It's learned out from the Hekesh to Yetziat Mitzrayim. So Yetziat Mitzrayim we know is Nisan. So the Gemara is a Havamina. Gemara is a Havamina. So maybe even the years of counting for Yetziat Mitzrayim have some other system. Right? So obviously from the Pasuk in Malachim about Shlomo, and I'm sorry, so from the Pasuk about from the Limud of Psukim about when Moshe starts his, when Aaron dies in Av, and when Moshe, I think I said it opposite 5 minutes ago. If you're listening to the recording, go back and switch it. Strike it, reverse it. First Aaron dies in Av. Then comes Tishrei. And even though you date your checks differently, the count of years from Yetziat Mitzrayim has not changed. Then comes Shvat, before Nisan, with no Nisan in the middle. Right? So everything from Av to the following Shvat, even though there's a Tishrei in the middle, is all one year for the purpose. So you see from this, obviously it's Nisan. Nisan changes the years of the king. Of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And we learn from the years of Yetziat Mitzrayim for the king. In other words, Chazal chose Rosh Chodesh Nisan as Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is already a Rosh Hashanah, not one of the Rosh Hashanah that's listed in the Mishnah. It's already a Rosh Hashanah for the purposes of the dating of years since Yetziat Mitzrayim. Even though you could say the proper date for that should be not Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but Tedva, but nevertheless, it's rounded. It's rounded off, or rounded back, right? Rosh Hashanah. And then here, maybe again, this is another one of those. I think I mentioned to you that the Sfas Emes and others point out the curios that this Gemara about Rosh Hashanah. When we talk about Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about
Rosh Hashanah.
HaMelech, right? The Rosh Hashanah with a capital R, right? So the day which is dedicated to anointing God as king, as Melech HaOlam, we start with a discussion of Melech Basar Vadam. But the whole idea of Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim Basar Vadam, right, comes from what? Yetziat Mitzrayim, which is kind of the antipode, right? There's two, and later the Gemara itself has a machlokas, when was the world created? So we say the world is created in Nisan. The world is created in Tishrei, but there's a possibility also that it's created in Nisan, right? So what happens in Nisan? If the world isn't created in Nisan, then God becomes God. God's melucha becomes mana. It's ridiculous for us to be mamlich God. God doesn't need us to be mamlich, right? But we need to be mamlich God, right? We need to recognize Him as God. So God's malchut becomes manifest in the world from Nisan, with Yitzhak Mitzrayim, with Kriyat Yam Suf, with the birth of the Jewish people as a people and not just a family, right? So it's another way of reinforcing this theme that all the whole discussion hidden between the lines of the discussion of the Melech Basar Adam is really the hints to Melech Malchei Hamlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kai Ba'av V'Kari La B'Shnat Arba'im V'Kai B'Shvat Kari La B'Shnat Arba'im Mechlal the Rosh Hashanah Lav Tishrehu Bishlama Heich Mefarish Letziat Mitzrayim Elahai Mimayd Letziat Mitzrayim Dilma La'akamat Mishkan. Right? So maybe we should date. Okay, so Beseda, so it's not, we've just proven that it can't be Tishrei. The math doesn't work out. But maybe you should count not from the date of leaving Egypt, but from the date of the Hakamat HaMishkan. Because really, when do we become a people? With the Hakamat HaMishkan. You know, that's what the Ramban and the Nitziv in the introductions to Sefer Shmot, both the Ramban and the Nitziv make this point that Sefer Shmot is not really about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Right? Yitziat Mitzrayim is the prelude to the subject matter that takes up much more space, which is the Mishkan. Maybe that's the thing we should date from. I guess that's where we'll pick up next week. Next week we'll have Shir, yeah? You don't have to be cleaning your kitchen or something?
No.